All right, let's go. Okay, we're going to come back to order and continue with item two of the Ridgewood South Precinct Plan, Precinct Q, a Complete Communities Direction Strategy. During our break, one person in favor who does not want to speak wants to be recorded in favor. So Pamela Schwamp, you are recorded in favor. All right. We've got approximately 30 folks here registered in opposition. If we give each of you 6 minutes, that's 3 hours. We'll stay if you'll stay. So, but if you are wanting to register your opposition but not speak, that's okay too. So I will start as the pile is presented to me. And if you want to come and sort of queue up on the bench down here behind the podium, that would work. Michael Caracas. Michael Caracas? In opposition? Okay. Gavin and Elaine Reed? He's speaking. Jacqueline Clement? Jacqueline Clement? Registered in opposition. David Nichols in opposition? Yes. Otto Amant? Otto? Registered in opposition. Leonard Van Roon? Yep. Are you speaking, sir? Okay, well, you come on down. Okay, Mr. Reed, are you just about there? Okay. And we have Leonard Van Roon Jr. also in the queue here. All right, Mr. Reed, you've got 6 minutes.
Okay, I won't need it. I expect to be short. Compared to the previous presenters, I'm here as somebody that didn't put together a fancy PowerPoint. Conceptually, we feel the Ridgewood South plan looks acceptable. However, we feel that the plan is not fully cooked. We need to know much more about the traffic plans and flows. We agree with Wesley Chamberlain that traffic infrastructure costs would be prohibitive. We ask for the infrastructure to be in place and then allow development to proceed where the improved infrastructure supports said development. We are concerned that without this infrastructure improvement, traffic will become chaotic on the existing roads. There has to be direction where the roads go until we see the plan, we will not withdraw our opposition. We ask for further consultation on the wildlife corridors, as we do not believe that the protected areas allow the wildlife, and I came up with the word, to migrate. And thank you.
Questions? No, thank you, sir. Mr. Van Roon? Leonard? There's Leonard Jr.
Stand up. This is Lynn Van Roon, Sr. I came to Charleswood with my parents in 1928, kind of a permanent resident, as it were. I watched Charleswood grow up, and the people and the area is very dear to me, and the history, that is really why I offered to come up here, is to remind people of our amazing history in Charleswood. We have established the fact that the passage is now recognized. That's at the top of Berkeley Street. The passage is recognized as a provincial historic site. And that took quite a bit of research, but it paid off. Now, the buffalo hunters and most of the people, that was, they went towards Charleswood Road along the north shore of the creek, across Charleswood Road, and then they headed due south on Charleswood Road, right past where the development is, all the way down. And when I was just a youngster, I used to set snares for rabbits on a trail that was parallel to Charleswood Road. I didn't know why that trail existed, but I was intrigued by it, and I measured the distance between the wheels. That's one thing I did, and it turned out that that is the wheels, the width of the wheels of the Red River carts. And you'd wonder what that has to do with the development now. But the history of Charleswood is very important to me and important to a lot of people. And my wife and I used to go to the schools with slides and information about Charleswood, and it was a wonderful experience, and the children enjoyed it to no end. Now I'm meeting what I'd call middle-aged people who used to go to school and knew the history of Charleswood from what we presented. One of the things that bothered me is that we have to show them something real, not just a planter with flora and fauna that used to be, but we have to keep something in its original form, in its original location. And I was quite intrigued that on the map, that high priority green piece that's south of the trail and at the end of the 1,000-meter lots, that green space is listed as high priority. But lo and behold, we noticed a change lately. These beautiful these beautiful plants, there's a road going right through the center. And I don't understand that approach, because if the flora and fauna are in their original location, and we can say this is the way the prairies were, this is the real thing. This is not, hasn't been planted, it hasn't been altered, it hasn't, it's there. And we can show you what it was like, how our early people walked through this area. Now, the oaks are fairly safe because it's on private property, and we have some on our property that are 150 years old. And we can say the buffalo hunters passed by this way, and it shows that it's the real thing. But why would we put a road through that big blue stem? I don't understand that system. Surely the engineers can find a way that would go around it and still leave the big blue stem, because those big blue stem can have been there longer than those oaks, because they were so deep rooted. And that, you say, well, how do you know that that existed? The field next to us, that is the field where this road's going through, was always cultivated, and they grew grain on it. But they always skipped that corner because it was too wet in the spring, and they had to seed, and so they ignored that corner. But that's why that big blue stem survived. And I certainly would love to see that road moved just a little bit somewhere around that blue stem, so that we have that for the future. If we could take a group of children or adults, for all that matter, and say, you know, this has not been altered. This is the real thing. You might have guessed that my interests are in the historical. I've become kind of historical myself.
Do we have any questions?
If anybody can give credence to this statement that that road should go around the big blue stem rather than through it, here's one person that would really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Van Roon. Paul Havixbeck has a question for you.
It's more of a point of clarification and a question I'd like to ask of the admin. The area, Mr. Van Roon, thank you for coming, too. I know that, you know, it's a long, long time to sit and listen. The area that you're talking about that was deemed priority one, where is that? And, you know, could we have that map back up so that people can reference it? Because there is a road going through it, and I want to hear from the assessor about why the road goes through such a high priority land now.
This is my secretary here.
Is this the land in area two?
It surely does help. I should have thought of showing the map, and then it would be clearer. But are you in business? No.
There we go.
Okay. Now there's the blue stem there. It's over my head. It's about 7 feet tall, and that takes hundreds of years to form that deep. We do plant a big blue stem, like at Fort White, and it's very wonderful. Oh, that's the corner, is it? Yeah.
This is where the conceptual road goes. This is all big blue stem in here. And it was moved for traffic calming. And it comes right through the blue stem, turns, and takes out the other patch. So it's...
question is more for the naturalists, city's naturalists. Why would we cut such a high level of deemed land with a road? Is that common?
I don't think it's not being aware of the value of something like that. If we could take a group and walk through that and say, this hasn't been altered, this is the way it always was, it has quite an effect. What are we doing now? Yes. Yeah.
I don't know if the mic is there. We go. As noted on the map, that was one of the high priority areas from our perspective. The big blue stem is part of that green area that's noted on the map. You know, from a natural areas perspective, you don't really want to see fragmentation of habitat, but I guess everything's weighed against everything else. I can't really speak to the transportation end of things. You know, from a natural area perspective, we like to see as much preservation as possible, but obviously within the guidelines of everything else that has to take place within the development. So in terms of the road, I can't speak to the actual location of the roadway being there.
Anybody wants to go for a walk through there, of course, I'll escort them. It's a real treasure. So if that can be kept in mind, I think with the engineering we have these days, or the planners, as long as they know it's there, and if they can do anything about it, it would surely be appreciated. Thank you.
Well, it's more for Rodney. Yeah. So the map that Donovan had up in his presentation showed it as 1A. In the Ridgewood South Natural Areas Assessment, it's rated as A, B, and B. Is that a lower than the 1A that was up there?
It's a different type of assessment, I guess, that's used because, well, it would be the, I guess the natural areas assessment is speaking to, as Mr. Van Roon pointed out, the heritage of the area. So it was identified with the natural areas assessment as, you know, having indicator species such as the big blue stem, which would show that it's a historically relevant area, as well as the oak trees. In the priority ranking, it broke it down to say that, yes, this is one of the areas that we would be very interested in preserving. You know, and as far as, you know, and that's where my expertise kind of ends. As far as the transportation planning for the community and what has to happen, that's more of a transportation engineer perspective.
Since we're only dealing with the precinct plan, not the detailed development application, that's kind of delving into the detailed application. I don't know if this is the right time to be talking about it.
Here, yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess the blueprint was presented as what you used in this plan. So
if the blueprint is the gospel here, and I don't know what part of the policy that's following, then I want to know whether this road going through it is absolutely essential. And it's part Area 1 and 2, which is related to the subdivision, but it's also the map that's right in our precinct plan. So I'm... Yeah. Just a question for Rodney and Donna. I understood that there was a grant by the Minister of Heritage for this piece of property. Did you ever get the copy of that report that Heritage did on the site? No, Phil. Yeah.
Trying to recall if I ever got that copy.
Come down.
Am I on?
Yeah, I'm unsure if I got that.
Are there any further questions for
Aaron? Now, Junior, you're
there
on.
There we go.
Okay. Thanks, Len.
Okay, so just to clarify, can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
I'm Len Van Roon, Jr. I'm now president after many years of my parents being president of Charleswood Historical Society and part of an active group of over 20 people that have been really working on valuing both the heritage and habitat. We might as well start with a big blue stem in the corner. There's two 20-acre parcels of land. And the reason why I looked at about 15 examples of things that we wanted to say that we think, as we're not opposed to the development, but we're opposed to this plan at this point because we think there's areas that can be improved with our input. This is a 20-acre parcel of land on Qualico land with some cutoff for houses right on Charleswood Road and I think over 40 residents on Charleswood Road that are very affected as well as the community is. My parents' property and his neighbors are another 20 acres. On the blueprint, the final 20 to 30 acres has been recommended as 170-year-old oaks, prairie, highest quality to save natural areas. So we've got a 60-acre parcel, and here we've got 20 acres of it. Thank you, Qualico, and those who have been working on this, because 3.9 acres has been set aside that didn't have to be. We asked for a 30-foot strip to keep continuity that connects the Hart Trail and the whole habitat corridor with my father's property in Area 2. And then we've got some real treasures in Area 2, and we've probably got 10 years to work on a plan and see what we can save in that. So we have this really interesting area where Area 2 is going to be kind of relied on to keep prairie, to keep some wetland, a little bit of wetland, and to keep oak forest. But it's bookended by two pieces of Qualico property. And at one end, we have a collector road at which there was originally a soccer field. We thought, oh, there's some possibility to have continuity here through to Wilkes. That's gone, and there's high-density, medium-density housing put in, and no green space. So we have an old Pembina Trail, habitat preservation trail, that could extend from Oak Park High School all the way to Oak Bluff. Wonderful, and really respected by landmark planning. But it stops dead, so you can't cycle through to Charleswood Road. If 40,000 people live on the south side of Wilkes, they won't be able to get to the Hart Trail. And worse yet, the animals can't come through. They go through a meadow, they go through old oaks, they go through Big Blue Stem if we save it, even if they have to cross a road to do it, if we save some of it, and then they stop dead. Or they go down a fairly narrow pathway past some lakes where there isn't habitat right now. Now, I may be speaking to this later in more detail, but at the conceptual stage, we need to have continuity in our corridors, both habitat, and this is a heritage corridor that goes beside a 200-year-old Red River Cart trail. We know where the trail was within 2 or 3 meters. We can put a Red River Cart there if we save some of that piece, but we need some integrity to it. So let's... Big Blue Stem is the example I use because it's one of the rarest ecosystems, prairie. It was the dominant ecosystem. And we have an example here that I think we can engineer our way around that isn't showing a lot of respect. I would ask at the very least this one particular piece, we at least wait 5 years. We don't put the road in right away. If we have to put in sewer and sanitary sewer and water lines, we don't put in the paved road for people to come through this until we've looked at it in more detail and really paid respect to it. At the end of my presentation, I'm going to show you, I've got 6 minutes of me walking through this Big Blue Stem. I'll show you about 30 seconds of it, because I think it's a really fair way to finish with one example. Native Plant Solutions did a wonderful report on Qualico lands. We were so proud of it. I saw it for the first time in February, and its recommendation was most of the diversity is not just in forest, it's in the interfaces of forest and prairie, forest and wet natural wetland and prairie. But I do not see that reflected when I look through some tiny areas and some big areas. I see quite a bit of forest saved and remnants, but the natural wetland, virtually none is really documented to be saved and preserved, even periphery areas of it. And as I say, we have one example of grassland here, but there's several others that I'll briefly allude to. So, the Old Camino Trail Habitat Preservation Trail, I've referred to, celebrates 200 years of Métis heritage. We also asked for a First Nations tribute trail that runs through the, and this is an answer to Ms. Havixbeck. We had an $8,000 preliminary archaeological study done on off the site of a road allowance with the city's permission. On a beautiful wetland that you can see from aerial maps, aerial photos in 1928, that's quite unique. It may have been a bison pound. It may have been a buffalo wallow. If it isn't, it's still a unique and very special small wetland surrounded by willows, surrounded by oaks. We do have a preliminary study, and we just received grant funding to do a secondary study on that area. I value that area for the heritage because we know millions of bisons came through and the carts went by it. But I also value it very much because it's a piece of wetland with integrity. So we have 200-year-old oaks. We had some of them measured by a group of people from Trees Winnipeg, master students. Some of our Big Blue Stem isn't 100 or 200. It can be 300 years old or even more. You just don't see it because it's under the ground. So I think you can see my bias on that. Right at the start, I'd like to thank CCHP for all their hard and valuable work. But I would really like Charleston Historical Society. Things have been so fast. There's been so many consultations in the last week. I got about 6 emails with materials, some of them at 12:45 this afternoon before a 1 o'clock meeting. So we would like to be on the list for our perspective to also be looked at.
Okay, Lynn, I'm going to give you the same sort of 4 to 5 minutes extra here, just because you've got the AD, and okay. We'll hope that we don't get too bogged down in future presenters.
I'll try and be as fast as I can. I was kind of answering some questions at the start,
correct.
So I don't think it's
that's fine.
Fair. Thank you. Okay. A lot of work's gone into this plan the last week. We have not yet been a part of it. We have a tentative meeting for the 13th to the 17th with Ms. Beaton and Rodney and James Veach. And we share a number of the concerns that have been brought forward, but there's some other issues that we have a different perspective on. If you take a look at the blue line, that goes through a lot of oaks along the edge of Area 1, but it stops dead right here at the collector road. So no animals can move here through what, now I've counted 75 deer prints in that area. No people can move here past the Ball Diamonds. So what if there's 30,000 people living up there? They can't get through this beautiful treasure to the Heart Trail. So I would say That's something we should look at. First Nations Tribute Trail is right on this side, and there's this beautiful circle of wetland. We've got 8 to 15 years. I think we can put together a remarkable plan and do more with that area. We just don't accept the broken trail connection at either end. I'm just going to show you at the bottom here. It's kind of low-grade wetland, but it's full of things, full of rabbits. Now, I've changed my position on this. If we can't have a wetland there because it doesn't measure up by some standard, give us a hill. Give us prairie. Give us some bush and plant it if you have to. But not many people know about this big chunk of wetland that's in here, and the animals know about it, and they move through it. And we don't want a corridor all the way from Assiniboine Forest that stops right here, right by this unplowed piece of prairie. So this has a chance of being an important natural area. This is where the blue stem is. Here's the Heart Trail. We've bookended at both ends pieces of Qualico land that at the conceptual stage block us off from having a continuous corridor. Please talk to us and reconsider. Let's move a little bit further down to the Hearthstone Forest. Boy, it's magnificent, but it's pretty thin, and I'm just going to do an overlay to show you how thin. And yes, we've saved some aspen forest. You've heard, a road cuts through the middle of it, drastically reduces its effectiveness. Boy, do we ever want that road to be moved further down. And we've got a beautiful piece of prairie and some gorgeous wetland, none of which is being saved at this point, that's along these edges right here. So if we overlay the existing plan, not much forest left, is there, on that? Just a little bit and the road through the middle. And again, as I say, it's a common theme. Natural wetland is left out, and grassland isn't paid attention to. Qualico owns a good chunk of the land there. There's only about 6 owners. And if you look right in the middle of some of the nicest wetland, we have a roundabout, 2 roads meeting, then we bisect it, and a really busy road at Fairmont that's going to be a bit of a problem. We think we can do better. Margidi Park, this is parkland. It's not. We don't have to buy it. It's already ours. A road's going through it, and again, thank you. Ms. Beaton has told us, and in the report, we're looking at getting an offset. Well, if it's 2 acres, that's over $1 million worth of property to reacquire parkland because we're using parkland for roads. But this little piece doesn't look like much on a map. Here's the Heart Trail. There's a magnificent wetland here. We're counting the oaks in this section. And when you go down the trail now, you see a really beautiful little piece of habitat that the animals move through. Where does the road go? Presently right here. We don't mind if it comes through at Springers over here. But if it can be rerouted to save most of the oaks or some of the oaks, it'll make a huge difference to the animals, to the Heart Trail. So that's our suggestion that we look at this. And then we if we have an offset of parkland for what we've used with park, we use it. Ridgewood West, again, there's 3.9 acres. This is past the conceptual stage, but we know that we may be moving on to this later tonight. And we just don't see why the habitat corridor has to be interrupted where the big blue stem is. Staging, Charles River Road's to be closed, but not for 5 to 10 years. So for 5 to 10 years, we're going to have a lot of traffic through there. We think they'll shortcut through the area right here. If you leave this open for 5 years or for 10 years, we have real concerns. What I would say is don't open this for 5 years, and we can live with this staying open. But give us 5 years of having big blue stem. This is beautiful. It's 3.9 acres. Of one habitat, forest. We also have wetland. It's on the edge. So what we're suggesting is by two lakes that they've, somewhere conceptually through here there has to be lakes. We've asked 7 or 8 questions we haven't received replies to, and 3 or 4 good ones we have. One of them was, can you have an active transportation corridor alongside the lakes? Does it lend itself to that? Would it be okay with the people? Because if you can come across here, right across from the Heart Trail, out to Adrenaline Adventures on the lakes, that's an option we would certainly look at. I don't know how many animals are going to want to do that. And I counted 17 animal trails along this stretch that I walk all the time. The animals love moving through here and through here. So let's look at that as an option. Grassland is missing from the corridor. Virtually no natural wetland has been preserved, and we would like at least 1 or 2 or 3 even small pieces. Here's one piece in Area 2, but let's not leave it all up to Area 2. while Area 1 is built. Give us the blue stem at the far end on Qualico land, and this piece that's never been plowed, surrounded by 170-year-old oaks, is something of real value. Area 3, we can, like I say, we can wait for 10 years, and we think that we'll do some work. I really have to show you this piece because it's not on anybody's priority list, and it's nesting sites for yellow rails. Fraser Meadow Park is over on this other side, and it's a nice ball diamond and a nice soccer field. If you come across the Hart Trail, all kinds of birds nest in here. There's a beautiful piece of wetland here, and the Hart Trail is going to be pretty stark along the edge of it. So one of our other presenters is going to read an active transportation suggestion that says, instead of your north route of the North Collector coming all the way through, if it doesn't go in right away, how about putting in a paved bike path there and saving some of the habitat at least for 5 or 8 years? And we'll be prepared to present within 3 weeks a presentation on a natural active presentation active transportation route. Thank you, CCHP, for doing some remarkable work on some of the maps. This right here is that wetland. See the red part at the top here? I can't make my finger work. Right there. And it's got a collector route running right through it. And we're not sure when it'll be built, so we would like to look at that in more detail. I'm getting close to the end of this presentation. I would ask your latitude in showing 30 seconds of the big blue stem with my dad standing in it on my other machine. This is willow wetland. Wet Prairie was full of this. There was thousands of them. It doesn't look like geese would land in it, but my dad just about died in this piece because we were walking through tall grass for about 45 minutes, and then he said, I wonder if they can get an ambulance in here close to Wilkes and lay down and rested for half an hour. And I thought, oh no, I've killed him. But it's really a beautiful place for animals. Right behind it, at the back edge, is 170-year-old oaks. That's where the collector's feed goes that blocks this off. And this is the piece where medium density housing is going. Animals will not go through here, and people won't be able to go through the other side of Charlesford Road. So have we preserved high-quality habitat in an acceptable manner? No. Myself and most of the Charleswood Historical Society people don't think so, not yet. There's some gaps in it that we need to fill. I respect the position CCHP and Friends of the Hart Trail have taken, but we would like them to have a chance to reconsider while we get a chance to do some consultation. We did ask for a consultation with Friends of the Hart Trail before the June 25th meeting and sent them some information, and there just wasn't time to do it. So we're still looking forward to that. We haven't consulted with Friends of the Hart Trail. We're still waiting. We've had ongoing information exchange with CCHP, and they disagree with some things. I would like to mention Van Ruin Prairie Garden in closing. It's a beautiful tribute right along the Hart Trail, right beside Cullen. I really don't mind if Cullen goes through, because we have two boxes of beautiful planted prairie plant species. And they're a tribute to my parents. I like them. But you walk 3 minutes away from it, you're walking through the big blue stem. You walk 8 minutes away, you're walking through a prairie meadow. So I think we could have both, but having a prairie garden in boxes and forgetting that we have prairie next to it, I think it's something we need to work on. So I was a member of CCHP, Citizens for Charleswood Habitat, for a little while, and I drew up a logo that wasn't accepted because it's a bit corny. But this is the corner where the big blue stem is, along the Hart Trail, with me and my two sons 15 years ago. And what it says on it is, Citizens for Charleswood Habitat Preservation valuing natural habitat with wetlands and forests and prairies. And that's kind of the slogan I've been living by, that we really need to do that. I'm going to leave to the next person coming up an active transportation corridor alternative that we think is really exciting and much more natural. It just doesn't fit City of Winnipeg's policy that says when you have a two-lane collector street, the active transportation corridor will be on the side of it. Okay, give us that on the south side, but give us a chance to do something natural or at least present an alternative on the northern end. And I'm going to mention money, because Charleswood Historical, we've got two centennials coming up in 2017 and 2020. Unofficially, the Manitoba Museum is looking at spending $40 million of provincial and federal funding. We can get provincial and federal funding to support a Charleswood Centennial Greenway and a nature corridor that's bigger than the existing one. We have a charitable status number, and we would like to work on it. And how could I finish without mentioning traffic concerns? It's not my key, but we asked for the number of vehicle crossings of the Hart Trail, which we think is really important. And before any area plan goes through, we would like to see those. Because if you have 40 local cars going through on a street across the Hart Trail, that's a problem. If you have 6,000 on five different streets, it's really dangerous. And we think we should really look at that information. We're also concerned not just about the Hart Trail, about Wilkes. And I reiterate what others have said about some of the elements that the city responsibility is for putting in a proper Hart Trail, a proper infrastructure system. Nobody has yet mentioned the word land bridge. And I'll close with that because, yeah, we want to have a pedestrian corridor like some of the others and a pedestrian bridge that lets people move over. But even if it's too expensive, we would like to cost out a land bridge that would let some animals, better cyclists go over the Will Clement Parkway. Will Clement Parkway is a block right now. So I just have to switch one piece here. And I will give you a maximum of 30 seconds of big blue stem in that corner where the road is right now. See, there's a really nice piece in Area 7, too, of exactly the same thing, where you have prairie and forest at Ridgewood Forest. And wetland, and here we go.
Here we go.
So this is Charlesford Road at the far end, and this is walking through the big blue stem that's all taken out by a road coming down that side and under the present plan. So if you've got your bearings there. This is the 3.9-acre strip of bush, which isn't all that old, and it's nice to have. But but the piece up against it, we think, is really important to have. And when I went out to take this, I don't know if you can see, but at the back of the blue stem,
there's deer.
Are three really big deer who stood and I watched for 5 minutes till they ran off and stood and watched again. They're not in the bush. They're at the interface of the prairie and the forest. And as I say this, the bookending of on Qualico lands in this case is something that is repeated in other places where I think if we turn our attention to it and consult in good faith, I think we can do better.
Thank you, Len. Paula, questions?
Len, thanks a lot for all your work. We've just been handed an amendment to the report and the map. Have you seen it?
Yes, I think so.
It's called Ridgewood South Natural Areas Priority Evaluation. There's one from 4:30 today and one from noon.
I skimmed one of them.
You did skim one of them? Do you have any comments on them? This is the first time seeing of them. So.
That's the blueprint idea. That's the background.
Do you have any comments on them?
Some of the areas are really good that I read. I think there's still emissions, and it will require some further consultation. So if this passes, I think there needs to be good faith on consultation.
So how was your land prioritized? How was it rated?
Most of the oaks are in the top green category. It's also
so 1A and 2A?
Yeah, but the priority system I'm more comfortable with is the natural inventory system. And this piece of prairie is one of two AB in the entire, it's one of the two highest. There's an AB rating on this. There's an AB rating adjacent to the Hearthstone Forest. Those are the only two pieces of AB grassland. So it's rated the highest of any grassland.
So you were okay with the way the process went? You weren't notified, or were you notified that somebody was going on your property to
we gave
review
permission.
It? Did you get a notification?
No, we actually gave permission.
Who did you give permission to?
CCHP.
Okay, but the city did this, and the city's handing this out. So did you give the city permission?
I don't think so, but I have no objections to evaluating and looking at that. That's a good point.
Any further questions?
Thank you, Len. Appreciate it. Now, your partner in crime is Otto? No.
Yes, I'm Otto.
You're Otto.
Next in line is Jack.
Oh, okay.
All right. And risk of stating the obvious, I'm not her. But she's asked me to read her submission because family matters have taken her away.
Okay.
So Jacqueline Clement has lived in Charleswood for 28 years. Okay. She was the co-president of Oak Park High School in her graduating year, and she has been volunteering in the community since she was 7 years old. And she has been an active member of the Charleswood Historical Society for the last 3 years, and she's currently sits as second vice president. Now, you've heard this before, but I'm reading what she has put down here for me to read. Charleswood is green. People like it. They move here or they stay here because it is unlike other parts of the city. There are mature trees, prairies, and wetland. Humans and wildlife flourish together here. Now, as one of Charleswood's centennial legacy projects, the Historical Society of Charleswood is looking at a Charleswood Centennial Greenway. This includes preserving more of the habitats along the Hart Trail in a way the community feels very strongly about, which is active transportation. We believe that there is no better place to do all of this than on a paved surface parallel to the existing Hart Trail. The Hart Trail is located in a natural corridor 6 kilometers long. All ages of youth can safely use this trail from one end of Charleswood to the other, starting at she says March 80, but we know it's all the way to Shaftesbury now, all the way past many schools, soccer fields, and baseball diamonds to the end of the path at Adrenaline Adventures. People rollerblade, they skateboard, they bike, they cross-country ski through scenic areas. Of course, they don't bike and cross-country ski necessarily in the same season, but it is used all seasons of the year by active people. And they like the smell of the wilderness, they like the wildlife, but they don't like being alongside a busy street where there is noise, air pollution, and safety issues created by vehicles. So currently on a beautiful day, there's a dramatic increase in the number of people who are using the Hart Trail to walk, take their dogs, whatever they do. This is going to increase with the traffic in the area. There's no question about it. And I'm going to, in my own submission, I'm going to make a comment about the traffic on Charleswood and the Hart Trail. So there's going to be an increase in the use of the Hart Trail. The number of people using the trail will put walkers at a greater risk of injury with the additional amount of traffic that has to stop and doesn't always stop at the stop signs at the roadways that intersect the Hart Trail. It needs to be developed, the Hart Trail, to safely accommodate both users of the Hart Trail and users of the roadways. So this adds the importance of having an option of green active transportation, a green active transportation line. Now, as this is the centennial year of the Charleswood Historical Society, we're looking into grants to fund this project of the Greenway Corridor. But first, we need to know what your plans are for active transportation and preserving these very important habitats. Your report supports the fact that grasslands, wetlands, and forests together have the highest thriving ecosystems and sustain the most variety of species. The community feels that this is another very important point worth looking into further. We need to have a better understanding of what the plans are so that we can start applying for the grants and know what type of timeline we have to move forward with the next step to develop the green space. Now, will the existing residents of Charleswood go out of their way to use the current active transportation line that is proposed or not? What do you include as modes of active transportation? Is it just bicycling, or are there other active methods that are considered? Between Hearthstone and Fairmont, does your existing plan have a separate path for active transportation? Have you looked at the area parallel to the Hart Trail as an alternative or additional location for the active transportation? So that's what we are, or that's what she, Jacqueline Clement, is proposing, that the active transportation line be run adjacent to the Hart Trail so that the users can actually then appreciate the the nature ambiance of the HART Trail. Have you considered how many intersections cross the Collector Street active transportation line versus the amount of intersections in the HART Trail? So these are all issues that need to be addressed, she says. What figures do you have for how many more people will be using the HART Trail when your development is complete, that is the proposed development? So that's Jacqueline's written submission, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening, and I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Yeah. Otto, can we just have her copy there?
Sure, you can. As a matter of fact.
Thank you. Okay, great. All right, carrying on, those in opposition, Lance Bell.
In opposition.
Are you presenting? Okay.
Before I get down, can you read the minutes of the meeting where we just have a spec, or the council has a spec, recommend at the end on why we should postpone the vote on the precinct plan?
I don't know if we have a bit. Angela Reeves, Randy Drew, Boris Baczynski. Opposed, Randy? Okay. So do we have those? We're just going back into the archives here to that could take a minute, sir. So I think in
sure,
the,
that's sure. I remember a couple.
We'll
of
read
things
them at some point. So anyway, you proceed. You've got 6 minutes,
And we'll take a break in the middle if I have to, because I think those are very important points, councillors, consultants, and I think there's some City of Winnipeg representative, but it's hard for me to tell which side the city representative workers are on because they all sound like consultants wanting the same thing, not describing what the blueprint actually is, or, you know, there's so many missing terms. And I have another point of clarification. On the website, right at the beginning, I can't remember who said that the version of the precinct plan that was on the website was from May. Is this correct? Say if I wrote it down.
In my comments at the beginning of the meeting, I said the latest version of the precinct plan that is on this agenda was put on the website, the City of Winnipeg's website, Thursday last week. So there's other websites out there. There's the consultants have a website. There may be other websites, but on the City of Winnipeg secondary plan website that you get through Winnipeg.ca. This latest version with all these records.
So that was last week you're saying, sir?
Pardon me?
That was last week?
Yes,
and previous
last
to
week,
that was May, I think you said. So the last meeting in June, Councillor Hausbeck raised a big objection that stated we are getting this document at 4:30 before the meeting. Why are we getting these documents so late? And they objected pretty strongly about that. And I admire you, Councillor Hausbeck. So now what I am hearing today is kind of the same thing. All these documents, these amendments, are all taking place into the document, and they're not in a cohesive plan. The plan for me, conceptually, because I'm trying to do a conceptual thing because I can't see what's going on, how do I follow this? If you guys can't put together the plan, get it prepared to vote on it, let me ask you another question, Councillor Fielding. How much did the recycling program cost for you to implement right across Winnipeg? Come here, Bertie, come. Sit. Do you have any idea what that cost, Councillor Fielding?
Does that fit into this discussion, sir?
Yes, it does. The reason why I ask, what is the opportunity cost of getting rid of Charleswood in the way that it's been for many, many decades and why people want to live there? What's that cost? Do you know how much this plan that's presented to you is going to cost? Do you have any idea? You get, because I guess you guys take ownership of it if you vote on it today. Is that correct? According to Donovan, it is. So what's that going to cost you? Is there, and I, as far as Wesley, I think it was Wesley who said last meeting in June, how much, one of the, before you enter into a new development, what is the opportunity cost? Is there a net benefit or is there a net deficit? So what is this plan going to cost? Do you guys know? Do you guys know how much it's going to cost? Another thing that crossed my mind during the meeting was Pemina Trail School Division. Our school taxes have gone up again. They're responsible for upgrading a road that's put together by developers. And let's face it, developers are like gamblers. They buy things to think that they're worth value in the future. They could have bought gold back then and made a whole lot more money. But they're gambling. So do you guys want to do the same thing, gamble on the cost? I personally don't. I think that there's, and I said last time, there's how many other fields go to the south? Why can't we develop there? So we don't even have to dig up the Hart Trail, dig up wetlands. It's farmers' fields. Why not just go there? It's like it, we have to use some logic in this plan. Just because developers want to spend money and make money, does that mean you guys have to accept it? My logic doesn't dictate that. And now, is the minutes on why Councillor Havoc spec?
No, there's no minutes or comments. She did not present it in the form of a motion, so her comments.
Yes, she did. At the end, she said and summarized very succinctly the three things. I was listening very clearly.
All right, I'm not going to argue with you, sir. There are no minutes or
regarding
the
comments.
Minutes.
Can I have? Excuse me.
I'm sorry?
This is my 5 minutes, not yours.
You asked for the minutes. I'm telling you there are no minutes.
So, Councillor Housebeck, do you remember the three things that you had mentioned at the end of the meeting after being postponed?
You're asking me if
yes.
I recall vaguely asking that the groups go back and work together and try to come to a plan that could lead to an agreement. So
is that it? Is there another one?
I can't recall in detail.
One of the things you mentioned was we have to go to the city, we have to engage them to study and have a plan. Do we know? And there was a cost to that. Is there some sort of a plan that you had asked for to be done in July for a study on cost, traffic?
There was a study done that was presented to this committee, and I said this already earlier in the evening, and it was presented to this committee December in 2012 related to traffic issues, current traffic issues on residential streets and how to manage that going forward, because a lot of changes have not been made in Charleswood to manage growth. So some of those recommendations we've already talked about tonight.
I was asking at the beginning of the meeting, excuse me for cutting you off, and someone said that you had asked for some sort of a plan to be commissioned in July after the meeting in June.
No.
Donovan, do you know Robert?
No.
With all due respect, can you, I understand what you're saying, but
so,
if you...
Right, so what of my point is we are putting together and going to vote on something that the pieces of the puzzle are so spread apart that conceptually, how do you put them together? And for me, one of the biggest changes in the last meeting was the termination of Elmhurst. Now, is that in the new plan? Did they cut off Elmhurst? Were the people of Elmhurst notified? Was the school division notified because the bus routes are now going to change for the people that and the kids that come from Loudoun to, say, Pacific Junction?
I don't know the answers to those questions, sir, but I can add them to my list of questions for the administration here after you speak or after
I would love for all the documents to be succinctly joined so someone could read
that. I would love
that, too. And that's ultimately my biggest point is it's hard for me to understand all the amendments and all the new things coming on that you objected so adamantly last time, Ms. Councillor Havisbeck. Why are we rushing through this? Postpone it one more, even next month. Put together the plan, put the amendments together, and create the plan. If you guys are going to pay for this plan, ask for it to be complete. You know, take the draft off of the plan. Post it. Put it on the website. Let people talk about it. Thanks.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you, sir. Okay, that was Lance Bell. Angela Reeves, are you with us? There you go. Boris Baczynski, you're on deck. Brad Adams, no, Fran Adams. 6 minutes.
Before I start, I just want to say when Len Van Ruth Sr. touched on the history of Charleswood, that's what's got me so passionate about it, considering my great-grandparents and my grandparents and my parents have all grown up in Charleswood. So Charleswood is known as a suburb. A suburb is defined as a district line immediately outside a city or town, especially a smaller residential community. Add in the unique characteristics, yards, ditches, space, and nature, and most importantly, wildlife, and this is Charleswood. This plan proposes all these traits at the bottom of its concerns or content. A phrase that continues to stand out to me from the June 25, 2013 meeting was, why don't others deserve that lifestyle? In other words, why shouldn't we allow this development so that others from around the city or world, for that matter, can come here and experience the suburb life of Charleswood within the city? Well, how will it be Charleswood if you're destroying everything about it? If I want to live in River Heights, can we expand it? No, you have to wait your turn to buy a house. Therefore, just because Charleswood has land surrounding it doesn't mean we should expand it. The biggest concern about this development shouldn't be busy streets, noise, additional businesses. It should be, why is there going to be a development through a forest? Why is there going to be a development through grasslands and wetlands? Why are we aiding in the reduction of biodiversity and destruction of habitats and homes for species that aren't capable of standing here to talk to you and try and save them? A habitat recommendation doesn't mean it's guaranteed to be saved, and for me, that is completely unfair within the area. You fill a wetland, you destroy a natural way to break down chemical pollutants. As stated in the Tomorrow Now Manitoba's Green Plan, wetlands are often referred to as nature's kidneys because of their availability to filter pollutants and sediment out of water. They are also critical in flood control and act as carbon sinks in the fight against climate change and as a habitat for fish and wildlife. The province will develop a wetland strategy to protect prairie pothole wetlands. So why replace them with artificial lakes and new developments? Therefore, the riddance of wetlands in areas 1-7 and Hearthstone Forest, how does this aid in the Manitoba Green Plan? You cut away and dig into grassland, you increase the risk of erosion, create a lack of nutrients, and the riddance of food stores for wildlife. A minimum of 10% dedication of green space is just not enough. Do not include recreational areas in this percentage, therefore allow for a greater amount of natural land overall. If you allow for the destruction of forests between Hearthstone and Fairmont in Area 5, with the road connection being right in the middle that still hasn't been changed, you'll be destroying three ecosystems, which aid in biodiversity and a strong chance for species survival. As for my speech at the June 25th meeting, I will imply it again that the SARA Act states that the purpose of this act are to prevent wildlife species from being exterminated or becoming extinct, to provide for the recovery of wildlife species that are exterminated or endangered or threatened as a result of human activity, and to manage the species of special concern to prevent them from being endangered or threatened. With there being two species, the northern leopard frog, listed special concern on both Kosowick and Sarah due to habitat fragmentation and wetland drainage, to list a couple reasons, and the bobolink listed as threatened on Kosowick due to habitat loss and fragmentation, which continues to have a declining rate of reproduction. Both these are currently living amongst the areas proposed to be developed in that Hearthstone Forest and Charleswood Road. This would go against recovery portion of purpose of Sarah, and it would be the human activity elevating the risk, causing more pressure for these species to become endangered or extinct. If you choose to not listen to my opinions and statements today to stop and oppose the Ridgewood Plan, that's fine. But know that, what might have not affect you in your lifetime may affect your children or grandchildren and theirs. Concluding, I will quote, "The government of Manitoba accepts its responsibility as a key player on environmental action, but cannot do it alone. The province needs all Manitobans to take action and do their part. Everyone has a duty to reduce their environmental footprint for the long-term health of the planet and future generations, as stated in the Tomorrow Now Manitoba's Green Plan. If you cannot do it alone, then accept the help from us citizens in aiding for the decision to end this development, and it would be a huge start in reducing our environmental footprint. And do your part as our government, who has the authority, and demand that all the natural area priority for preservation be preserved. Don't put a price on natural beauty. That's not something that you can restore. Thank you.
Any questions? No? Thank you. Boris Paczynski? Bran Adams? Verna Hare? Steve Geddes? On Glenbush?
Coates. Steve Coates.
Coates. Oh, okay. Gwen Jameson. Deanne Coombs. Okay. Well, if any of you are here, please come down and sit on the bench and please proceed. Councillor Fielding will be back in a minute. We have to wait, I guess.
Good evening, Chairman, councillors. Thank you for the opportunity to...
Ma'am, can you just hang on for 1 sec? The clerk's informing me that we have to retain our quorum here, so just bear with us for a second. There he is. Okay, away you go.
Well, I greeted you already, so I'll just go right into it. Thank you for the opportunity to address my concerns about the proposed development in Ridgewood South again. I'm a longtime resident and homeowner in Charleswood, and I have children and grandchildren living here as well. We live here because we like the large yards, the natural habitat found in Ridgewood South, and in the various places around our community. This, along with the wildlife and abundance of birds, helps to provide us with a semi-rural feel. My concerns about the proposed Ridgewood South development are many. I will mention only some of them. To begin with, this area, the area in Charleswood has a wealth of diversity of habitat, which provides homes, both seasonal and permanent, for an equally rich diversity of animals and birds. To review this, read the reports and the surveys completed by the several biologists, including Natural Plant Solutions. We have a rich history in Charleswood going back to thousands of years of buffalo, First Nations people, followed by the fur trade and settlers coming here to establish their farms, homes, and businesses. Some of the original habitat still remains in Ridgewood South. For example, we have an area of big blue stem growing just off the hot trail in the same spot it's been for hundreds of years. This year it is at least 9 feet tall. We have natural wetlands, grassland, and an old oak forest all side by side right next to the hot trail. According to the area development plan for Ridgewood West, this rare natural alignment of three habitats in a row will be forever destroyed, where the east-west connector streets block the habitat corridor that once existed through this wetland area along Wilkes Avenue. This is now planned for multifamily, high-density development without a wetland corridor. That's unacceptable. The same fate awaits the big blue stem grassland east of the 3.9 acres of forested area on Qualico land in Area 1 that is planned as a park. While this area connects the Hart Trail to the Area 2 forest, a traffic common connecting road bisects the forest corridor of the proposed Old Pembina Habitat Preservation Trail. This will forever destroy the big blue stem grassland prairie that is the highest quality grassland in the precinct. That also is not acceptable. According to the area development plans, no grassland or wetland will be left in its natural state and located in Ridgewood South. This is also unacceptable. The current plan shows that the Hart Trail will be moved through a young aspen forest in order to facilitate a pedestrian crossing at the W.R. Clement Parkway. This is the Trans-Canada Trail as well, and there are no indications of how bicycles, people with strollers, rollerblades, or those who are handicapped will get across. no corridor for animals to cross or go underneath the W.R. Clement Parkway is indicated. The streets and roads in most of Charleswood were originally built during the last 100 years. It was a different time then than now, and they were not built for the volume and type of traffic we have at present. People walked, rode bicycles, used horses, buggies, and wagons, and there were some cars. We still use those narrow roads. No plans, to my knowledge, are in place to upgrade them for the thousands of cars that will come with the new development. Are you planning to force us to pay for the cost of continual repairs and upgrades to accommodate the new development? What about the risk to our lives as we try to get onto overcrowded streets from our yards? Where are the children walking to and from school twice daily going to be safe? We must remember we have only one lifetime, and that the next generations will be the recipients of the decisions made today. They will either benefit or suffer from our choices. This is the time to be visionary and plan realistically so as to leave something better for them than a load of debt, urban sprawl, and a city that is crumbling in the core. We are celebrating our centennial in Charleswood this year. We are exploring and learning about our wealth of natural habitat, our incredibly rich history, the pioneers who first settled this area, and the diversity of people who make up our community. I invite you to come out to Charleswood this week and walk with people from our community through our very rich area and we treasure, so that you will experience and see for yourselves the treasure we ask you to save. It would be a shame to rob us of the very treasure that makes Charleswood distinct from all other communities. Will you listen to the people who elected you, whom you represent, and who will be affected most by the decisions you make tonight, and decide accordingly? Thank you.
Okay, we went through this last go-round. Do we have any questions for this presenter? Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. First of all, there is no applause in the chamber, and I've been sort of gracious about it at this point, but I will ask you to refrain. And secondly, at the outset, we want to strive for new information. We've heard about the bluegrass or the blue tall grass, and you know, so if it's in your presentation, we understand that that's there. So as you come forward in the future, try and touch on points that we may not have heard of already. Next up, Harold Strom, Verna Hentick, Claire Coleman, Neil Candus, Judy Firth, Stan Hutton. Do we have any of those folks coming down? Okay. You might have. I haven't been here as long. Introduce yourself, because I read off a lot of names.
I'm Harold Strom, and I spoke a little bit at the last meeting. I just got to say that, you know, with all these open houses and the meetings with CCHP and everything, I am really confused here. It seems there's nothing that's consistent. First, we're asking for 25% green space. Then I find out now that there's this 8% and there's a blueprint. What is this blueprint in lieu of the 25%? Where does this extra green space come from? Looking at all the plans, and I'm looking at all of them, and there you got the roads changing here and there or whatever, but these green space corridors, I can tell you, these corridors go nowhere for the animals. They may for people, but for animals. If I was a deer and I was in a narrow spot like this, if I can see or hear a human or is that residence or a house, I'm not going through that corridor. You can put all these corridors, you can put twice as many in there, but if they go nowhere, you're going to lose all the animals. And that's not just deer. All the little animals that are in the trees and in the ground, and even the birds, because they go on their trails to go to large forested areas where they feel safe and protected, or to the fields to feed, or to the marshland to get moisture. So that's all I got to say, is this is just getting very confusing, and I'm hoping that you see that too and understand where I'm coming from. I'm here just to speak for the animals because they can't speak for themselves. Thank you.
Sir?
Questions?
No questions. Please identify yourself, sir.
Stan Hutton, 80 Vans Quay Road.
Okay, Stan, there you go. Carry on.
I'm not sure if the glass is half full or half empty. It would be very easy to support much of the application. Seems that there's been a lot of good work done in the last 3 months. I'm inclined to think that everybody in this room would probably agree with that. I find the decorum much better. This is a much easier meeting to attend than the one in June. And I would encourage this committee to maybe give it a little bit more time, because if incrementally the plan improves and a lot of these issues that have been addressed this evening improve as much in the next 3 months as they have in the last 3 months, it would be incredible. Because I think that this development has the prospect of being the best development in the city of Winnipeg and being a tribute to those councillors that are on this committee and our local councillor if given the opportunity to mature. It's not there yet. Thank you.
Councillor Havlicek?
Yes, thank you for coming and for sharing your thoughts. Just a point that I want you to be aware of, or maybe you are, I'll ask the question to you, but tonight, and the clerk will clarify, tonight we either need to accept or reject the plan. There is no laying it over. There is no more going back at this point, because we've laid it over 3 meetings, that's the maximum, but the clerk will verify that or not or correct me. That's correct, she says. So,
okay. So, well, if I were in your seat, I would then reject it. Not that I don't have faith in Mr. Vogan and Donovan and many of the proponents of the plan. I do. I've got faith with much of the administration. I think there's transportation issues, and the administration, some of the administration, I think, probably took the summer off. Some of the administration worked very hard, exhibiting lots of positive energy to make it work for the proponents. There's no doubt in my mind, if you reject it, they'll come back with a more comprehensive plan. It'll be tabled early. There won't be lots of amendments. I haven't said that word for a while, so there's no doubt in my mind that we'll get it done. The community will be even more supportive of Donovan and Eric and their efforts, and we can do this city proud. But to go forward on as much wish and prayer and not put our own transportation department on the hot seat to deal with some of these issues would be unfortunate.
Anything else? No. Thanks, Mr. Hutton.
Appreciate it.
Okay, Colin Nichols, Sonia Strauss, Tammy Reynolds, Greg Hare, Curtis Kluke. If any of you are going to speak to us, please join us down here at the podium. Yeah. Paula Makarenko.
She's opposed.
Opposed, thank you. Linda and Al Bowman. Are you going to speak, Linda? Thanks. Okay. There's some more. Well, Linda's coming down. Gail Buffington. Oh, we have a gentleman there. Okay. Batter up. Just identify yourself. Thank you.
What's that?
Just identify yourself.
My name's Colin Nichols.
Okay, cool.
I'm on Buckingham Road. Mine's more onto the traffic issues. A lot of it's been taken care of already. But when I look at the current plans that are available to us, Buckingham is completely left out of the consultation that was available online through the 125-page report. I live on the latter part of things, like the closer to Roblin. I don't know how that's going to affect my area of where I live exactly. I don't have any traffic impact that is, or assessment that was given by the company itself or the consultants. And also from, I guess you'd say, other emails that I've been receiving through other people that are within the community, other traffic issues that they were looking at were, there was an email sent to me saying that they're looking at putting Buckingham as a one-way street and putting Hearthstone as a one-way street. Just to accommodate for school, the Dieppe school, to not incur any more traffic issues, which to me, for a person living in that area on Buckingham, I don't think a one-way traffic is a solution just to accommodate for Dieppe, a school. A lot of people are going to go up Dieppe regardless, especially when the new development goes through. Or potentially goes through, it's going to push a lot more traffic up through Dieppe, and I don't think the one-way solution's going to help in any way. As I say, it's been told through an email from other people that live in the community. Whether or not it's truthful, I can't say, because I haven't heard anything from the consultant say that it would be, and it's not documented on the plans itself. Other than that, those are one of the major concerns. And again, I live in the area. I wanted to try and keep the green space as high as possible. It is a good plan from what is given out, but if we can increase the green space, it would be awesome. But other than that, any questions to me?
Paul? No. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Who's next? Hi there, can you identify yourself?
Tammy Reynolds, 610 Hearthstone Road, residence since 1989. My partner, Mike Krakus, is in the audience and supports the views I'm about to say as well. I was here last time. I appreciate, and I would like to say that I understand there's been a lot of conversations with stakeholders. Unfortunately, I wasn't one of them. I was here. I did raise some concerns as an existing resident, and there were no subsequent contacts with me. So I'm guessing that most of the work that was done on the green plan. Our concern as a resident of one of the feeder roads to this development was raised at the last presentation. As far as I can see, having received information today and at 4:30, I never did see the 4:30 piece because I was walking over here, our concerns haven't been addressed. We conditionally oppose the present plan because, well, if you'd addressed some of our concerns, I'm sure we would have changed it, because we do support development, and we just feel that our concerns haven't been addressed. So we have a number of comments and a couple of questions. My first question is it only accept and reject, or can you accept with amendments?
You could make amendments to the plan, yes.
Well, I would respectfully request that you consider some amendments based on the conversations tonight and from some of my points that I'd like to raise. My second question is, if I understood the amendments that were proposed in what was tabled on the city's plan when I went on your website, it says the transportation area charge may be applied in conjunction with the developers. Is that correct? Is no, not shall be done?
The amendment was to change the term may to shall.
So it's now shall?
That's the proposal, but nothing's been adopted.
Okay, well, that's a good one, because I was reading it and it said may, and I wasn't clear on whether or not it was shall or may. So hopefully you'll consider changing it to shall, so it's not all a taxpayer's burden. Related to that, my question, I couldn't tell from the document that was tabled whether or not that transportation area levy only applied within the Ridgewood development, or can it also apply to any upgrades or transportation requirements on the existing Charleswood area?
Levy applies to... it's confusing, and there's some discussion internally among the city departments of how to use the Charleswood Transportation Levy. It hasn't been used to date, but the wording of the motion back from when it was first put in place talked about the Ridgewood East-West Parkway and the Charleswood North-South Parkway, and the levy was to go towards that. But we're hoping either to look at amending that or having discussions with council to change that to allow the levy to be used for other transportation works in Charleswood.
Can I just ask a question about that to Cindy, who's here from Public Works? I thought the study that was commissioned by MMM, that the funding came out of the transportation levy towards that. It was supposed to. It came through as a motion here, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly where it came from, but mm-hmm. that's my recollection.
Yeah, okay. So to correct that, the money has been used from that levy towards transportation analysis that was presented to us in December.
Oh, I'm not talking about analysis. I'm talking about actual improvements that would be funded through this for
right.
the existing Charleswood
right,
areas,
but
more than analysis.
A study was kind of the first step of doing that, and now there's a list of recommendations out of that.
And I guess that's part of my frustration with this process, and I'm sure you're feeling the same frustration, because I really don't know exactly what I'm critiquing. I'm a policy analyst. I work for the province of Manitoba, and I've dealt in billion-dollar projects. I've made comments in international trade agreements that were cost $2 million or more to actually run, and I knew what I was talking about. But honestly, on this one, I don't, because I don't even know if I have the most current draft, and I'm sitting here trying to read a screen so I can figure out what's going on. So as an overall comment, if you have an opportunity, you might want to consider rejecting the current proposal as proposed by a gentleman before us and have it resubmitted in a completer form so that we all know what we're talking about. Going back to the transportation area charge, my point there was I thought Hearthstone, Charleswood Road, and Elmhurst should be considered as part of how those funds could be spent. The second thing I'd like to mention, in particular dealing with Hearthstone Road, is if you're going to tear up the road, which I expect is going to happen in order to put in that Horkin big pipe that's bigger than I am, on our side of the road, by the way. If you're going to dig it up, then I suggest that you look at upgrading the roads so that it meets city standards, somewhat similar to what we see in front of Oak Park High. And that would include a sidewalk. I do have a follow-up question on that. I realize I'm at my 6 minutes, but
no,
this is
okay.
Some new stuff.
We kind of took up some of your time, so you've got a couple extra minutes here.
When I read on page 28 of the submission on the City of Winnipeg's website, it says no sidewalks are allowed in where there's single homes or double dwellings, where there's a front entrance. Driveway. Thank you. Would that then apply in, oh, that's page 28, 7.3, if you want to check. Does that also apply in existing neighborhoods? So if you dig up the road, put in the big pipe, do replace the road, hopefully, would you put in a sidewalk? Or is it limited because it's got a front entrance?
Shall not. Through the chair, if you want to answer that. I think the wording, and Cindy, correct me if I'm wrong, relates to where frontage roads will be constructed. There's no need for a sidewalk, as not driveway approaches. Driveway approaches, there can be sidewalks where there are driveway approaches.
Excellent. Because we do have a Roblin Park Community Center, and my house happens to be right beside the walkway, and so I'd like the council, in your consideration of the plan, to consider an amendment that ensures that a sidewalk is put in on Hearthstone because of the access to the community centers and the schools in the immediate area.
Perloaf?
It's directly behind. Hearthstone runs.
Oh,
the
okay.
Community, Roblin Park is right behind, and there's a crosswalk connecting it.
Okay.
Since I've lived there since 89, the walkway's been there.
Okay.
I respectfully request that those improvements not be borne by Hearthstone people, because all of this has been as a result of the development. So if you're going to do it, please use the transportation area charge to improve it in that area. So the cost is shared not only by all citizens of the City of Winnipeg, but by the developers and landowners, and potentially the future residents of that area through their taxes. The long-term plans call for access to William Clement and Wilkes. In all the plans I've seen today, there was sort of dotted access, I think. I'm not sure. Respectfully, I would request that the upgrades be to reduce the burden on the existing homeowners very early in the development of the plans. We respectfully ask also, and this is a little different, for noise abatement assistance. We are a mature neighborhood. We're seeing that a lot of the trees, I used to have 14 trees, spruce trees across the front of my yard. Those are now gone because of age and disease. And I'm going to have to replace them because now we're seeing traffic increase from, I believe it's 720. I wrote it down somewhere from here. 720 to over 33,000 cars are going to be on that road. So we have an existing mature neighborhood. We won't have any trees to act as a noise barrier. And we'd respectfully ask that you consider to have some kind of green program that would, one, offset the loss of the forests that we're going to see through this development, but also act as a sound barrier for existing people who live on the road. Subplans have been, if you approve the development today, you've also been asked to look at areas 1, 10, and 7. We support the CCHP positions on areas 1, 10, and 7. Namely, we support Area 1. The detailed plan has been submitted. There's been extensive public consultations. The traffic study has been conducted, and a number of high-quality natural areas are preserved, although I don't know, relative to the most recent plan, what exactly that is. And it appears to be consistent with recent plan criteria. We do oppose Area 10 and oppose Area 7. We oppose Area 10 because although there's been a submitted plan and public consultations, a variance application was apparently made to develop smaller lot sizes adjacent to large areas of Anscotti, which is contrary to the plan. This will set a precedent for other sub-areas north of the Hart Trail. And we also oppose Area 7. This has been an application for rezoning only. No plan has been submitted that I'm aware of, but I have already told you I'm not fully cognizant of everything. There's been no traffic study, no public consultation, and it requires a temporary Hart Trail crossing at Ridgewood. And if approved at the rezoning stage, apparently there's no further public input occurred when plans are submitted. And this should not be developed until the WRCP preliminary design study is completed. I'd also ask, I have found this process extremely difficult to know what changes have been made and when the changes are going to be made. So if you approve the plan, we will request some amendments to take our concerns into consideration. And second, I really would appreciate some advice on how I would become aware of submission of plans for the other areas, sub-areas, particularly sub-area 11. Because of the drainage that's required, it's going to affect the drainage ditch on Hearthstone. And I wouldn't want to wake up one morning just to see huge construction trucks on the road. I walk to the bus, and I probably would take a different route so I can avoid the construction, the buses, and everything on the road. So with appreciation and respect, you have a difficult job. It's hard to balance everyone's demands. I do appreciate it if you would take our concerns into consideration. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tammy. Who's next?
I have copies. In keeping with tonight's evening, there are some amendments.
Well, call the last three that I have here. I see Linda Bowman sitting back there with someone else. William Crosney. Opposition. Okay. Joan Anderson. Okay, well, come on down. Actually, you're here twice, so. Okay. Thank you. Okay, Sonia, way to go.
Good evening, City Councilors, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Sonia Strauss, and my family has been part of Charleswood since 1981. As many Charleswood residents have stood before me at this podium and presented the importance of preserving Area Q, you have probably come to the conclusion that we want to keep our Charleswood green for our own selfish reasons. However, we are instead a reflection of the 21st century of activists and stewards of our environment. And what we really want is that you, the City of Winnipeg, revise your use of the 10% guideline that is the current parameter for new developments. When these development agreement parameters were first adopted, trails and active transportation routes that are now expected were not part of the original process. What is now expected in a development includes playgrounds, recreation facilities, walking paths, and active transportation routes, which all require a lot of public land and all come out of the 10%, which, unfortunately, leaves very little room for natural areas. I believe we need to establish stronger protection for our natural areas that exist within the city boundaries and allocate a separate percent value specific to the area in question on top of the 10% required for recreational green spaces. I make this request not for my own personal reason, but we want to keep Charleswood the way it is, as we have always known it, but because for larger environmental reasons and the preservation of natural areas that are so clearly outlined in your documents, such as our Winnipeg and the newer Plan 2020 Vision, Section 5C-4. For Winnipeg, not to mention the numerous environmental documents floating around these days on your website and others discussing the importance of preserving your natural habitat. I applaud these fuzzy feel-good documents on your website, but it seems to me there are a lot of glossy words that have little impact inside the feel-good documents and websites have very relative little meaning by the time a spade hits the ground here in the city of Winnipeg. It seems to me that a lot of provincial and federal environmental policies have very little impact inside the city perimeter. Once the decision is made to bulldoze, there is no going back. There is no changing your mind about your vote. The landscape will be changed forever, and you can't get it back. Though there are numerous other reasons to vote no to the Ridgewood plan, such as traffic concerns, just to name one, I would like to focus on the 10% because unless that guiding parameter is officially changed, all other discussions, promises, and even the very recent changes concerning the natural spaces contained in the Ridgewood development area all seem mute. I understand the 10% is a provincial statute, but it is only a starting point. It is not a maximum number, but it is in fact a minimum number to move forward with. 10% is not enough because each area slated for development should be individually assessed and not whittled down until the 10% is reached. Now, various Charleswood groups have done a lot of work in this area in conjunction with Landmark Planning, Qualico, and the City of Winnipeg, but there is still no guarantee their efforts will be followed. Why? Because technically, the guidelines does not require developers to do anything but the 10%, or more correctly, 8% with 2% dollars paid, or more importantly, as was the case with IKEA development, 0% with an entire green space allotment paid to the City of Winnipeg. There are really no repercussions for these actions to remove natural habitat from our environment because money talks. Speaking of money, the citizens and interest groups are now required to raise funds to buy back these lands in Area Q or land swap for other areas within the development. The sensitive natural spaces we wish to save in order to preserve the natural habitat where wild species at risk actually live. What I am requesting the City of Winnipeg to do is review their 10% green space policy and change it to correctly reflect what is written in all of your other documents under environmental considerations and truly reflect what should happen in such a diverse ecology that is found in Area Q. 10% is not enough because the City of Winnipeg currently has no tree bylaw to protect trees. Most major cities in Canada have such a bylaw for both public and private lands. There are currently no repercussions for demolishing an entire area of forest, such as the Hearthstone Forest, where we know the bobolink, a species at risk, resides. In the plan 2020 vision, the mandate is to increase the tree inventory. So why tear them down? The City of Winnipeg currently has approximately 200,000 trees in their care, mostly concentrated in mature neighborhoods and park areas. Now, there are a variety of water uptake tables for each tree species. In general, our city has a vast canopy consisting largely of elm, oak, ash, poplar, some fir and spruce. These trees tend to fall under the high to medium uptake volumes. Under normal conditions, these trees consume approximately 200 liters of water per day. 200,000 trees with an average consumption of 200 liters result in 40 million liters of water that is removed from the City of Winnipeg water drainage system every day. Most of the new areas slated for development, however, are agriculture areas that have next to no trees. Well, except for Area Q. Now, this area does not contain 200,000 trees, but I feel that every tree counts. There is, of course, always potential for more. Mr. Ravi Vadrasi of Qualico pointed out to me at the very first public meeting, we can create nature better than nature herself. Well, I highly doubt that this proposal meets that target. First of all, this proposal is to create water retention ponds, otherwise known as engineered wetlands, into conveniently designed areas to help collect rainfall and prevent overland flooding, unlike trees and grasslands to some extent, which would have to be removed. Water retention ponds do not, however, remove and store CO2 from our environment, aspirate water into the air, produce oxygen, provide homes for wildlife, absorb dust particles from the air the same capacity as trees do. Further to this, grasslands are deemed as low-quality areas, also provide the same services as trees, but just on a smaller scale. It is also interesting to note that young trees, which actually have a greater CO2 uptake than mature trees, do not consume as much water, are also considered to be of low quality in this plan. Now, I understand the City of Winnipeg will replace trees that were removed in order for this development to occur, but is my understanding from your website that you are behind in planting trees. And also, there is no guarantee that these new trees will actually be placed in the Ridgewood development. 10% is not enough because the retention ponds do not eliminate water from the environment, but instead, they only retain water and channel any overflow towards the Assiniboine River, in this case. Please refer the two maps I've provided. I would like the City of Winnipeg to consider this. As per the elevation map provided, the Ridgewood Area Q is approximately 780 feet above sea level, and the downtown is approximately 754. Now, the 30-foot difference may not be a lot. However, when you consider that the current and future developments in areas from Headingley and westward are at an even higher elevation, to on both sides of the Assiniboine River, Bloomberg, for example, to the Ridgewood Area Q, and possible future developments in the largely bare agriculture areas MNOP south of Wilkes, all propose to drain any retention pond overflow into the Assiniboine River, mostly using existing land water drainage systems. These proposals are still being approved despite the latest flood in the Assiniboine River in 2011. These proposals are still being considered inside the city limits, where there are no major water diversion systems such as the Red River floodway or the Portage diversion, other than the perimeter dike that is not even as deep as some of Charleswood ditches. These developments still continue despite the massive riverbank erosions that occur and the Forks sidewalk that is underwater these days until late August.
Sonia.
Yes, I'm almost done. I'm finishing up.
I can see how much we've got left to go.
So. These developments still continue despite the large rainfall amounts we are now experiencing, where the 1 in 100 floods have become 1 in 30-year floods. Now, I've been told numerous times the city engineers and hired consultants can overcome any land drainage issues and make water flow uphill if they want. However, based on the numerous flooding-related documents on your website, this does not seem to always be the case. Despite the new rainfall data, the City of Winnipeg continues to allow developers literally to push the water overland flooding issues onto existing infrastructure and down the river to the city's core, where a $1 billion National Museum is currently being built inside the primary dike area.
And I'm going to cut you off right there, okay? We've gone over on your thing. We've got your paragraph. We can read it here, the last part.
I'd just like to say that under the 10% guidelines, unless these 10% guidelines are reviewed and improved upon, I would encourage to vote no to the Ridgewood development.
Got it.
Thank you.
Linda Bowman.
Good evening. My name is Linda Bowman. I live on 615 Laxdal Road in Charleswood. Sometimes it's called at peak periods the 401. The meeting in June, councillors, I found really disappointing. And I was hoping that you would, over this period of time, been able to get a real grasp of what's missing in this plan. I don't come opposed to progress. And I call this progress. I think the development is really well, being well thought out, et cetera. But I came tonight thinking I'm going to get clarification, and especially the traffic issue was going to be addressed in a much better way. I'm not satisfied that we're not going to become overrun with vehicles, and it's going to be utter chaos in Charleswood if this plan doesn't become more clear to the people. That's all I have to say. I agreed with all the opposing people who came here. They have very legitimate concerns. The City of Winnipeg has virtually ignored our area for many years to our benefit because we've had all the natural trees and wildlife, etc. And we've been pretty quiet. We're a pretty quiet group because we don't peck away at the city. And all of a sudden, we're confronted with something that we're having a difficult time to handle. So I hope that you reject this proposal tonight because it's not finished. It's not ready. And I think you're going to have a lot more problems if you accept it at this point. Let them come back. Let them come back and address the issues that have been concerning people here. And everyone who spoke with their submissions, they're representing a lot more people than just themselves. I know I'm representing practically everyone on Laxdal Road because I spoke to them last night. Many of them weren't even aware of the meeting. Their lives are busy. Anyway, thank you for your time. I hope you make a good decision.
Thanks, Linda. Any questions? Gail Buffington.
This will be really short. I'm Joan Anderson, and I'm on Hearthstone Road. I think there are many, many good points that have been brought up, and especially I just feel that it should be rejected because it's not a clear enough plan yet. The traffic concerns are major, but for me, I walk the path every night. My boyfriend recently moved in from East Kildonan, and he's just absolutely amazed at the beauty in Charleswood. Actually, I ride my bike, I'm on the path all the time. It would be criminal to not save at least 100 feet on either side of that path, as well as a wildlife corridor. Anyway, thank you for your work, and I hope you reject the plan tonight.
Thank you. Are there any more folks who would like to speak in opposition to item 2? Okay, seeing none, we have several folks here that have just checked off for information. Steve Snyder, Lois Karen, Wendy Josephson. Sure, come on down. And the last one is Bob Hinkleman. So we're going to hear from Wendy Josephson.
Good evening, councillors. I'll be very brief. I was a bit confused about what I was going to be doing with this, and I'm conditionally supportive for this plan, but what I'm worried about, as Sonia talked about, was the 10% that I think is an antiquated number that we're dealing with, that to be progressive, we need to start thinking more space is needed just, you know, to preserve, you know, what's natural in a particularly natural area. And I know that when IKEA was developed, they all put the money that they saved from not having to develop a natural area or taking a natural area away, put that money into the land dedication reserve. And I know that the Seasons of Tuxedo has done the same, and I think there must be a fair amount of money in there that we can use to buy back some of this land, some of this natural areas. Is there an accounting of that money?
Absolutely, and there's a council-adopted criteria for how that money is spent, and it's called the Wilkes South Dedication, Land Dedication, and it's to be spent primarily in the Marge Eady Park area. So,
and how much would that be?
There's between $4 and $5 million in it.
And so that none of that can
We're going to get some more questions after this, but my understanding for every 70 acres additional to this 10% would cost in the neighborhood of $5 million. So it goes up quite exponentially. And then it begins the question of whether people want active play spaces or more passive green spaces, which is, I believe, what you're speaking of.
My understanding was that money was for passive green spaces.
No. It's been used. I can tell you we've used it at Varsity View to make some major capital repairs. So we've used it in that area. Some of it prior to that, when Bill Clement was still the councillor, went to the skateboard park in there. So that was the intention, and that's the council adopted policy on it.
So the Seasons of Tuxedo money, the Seasons of Tuxedo,
to add 2% of the dedication up costs approximately, I believe, but maybe Donna, you could clarify, somewhere in the neighborhood, depending on the per acre amount, in the neighborhood of $5 million? And
what we estimate, and it's really loose estimation because we don't have land values, but based on an average of $50,000 per acre, mm-hmm. that would mean for about every 2%, you're talking about $700,000.
Okay, I thought at some point you had stated that At 70 acres at $50,000, that would have a value of approximately $3 million. If we were to go to the 25%, yes, that's an additional 100 acres, that would cost $5 million.
Potentially, if we're extrapolating to that size, and that's what we would be looking at.
Bent.
What's that?
That's a moot question because that money from the land dedication reserve has already been all spent from the...
Land dedication money is dedicated by council to Wilkes South, to the primarily Marge Eady Park area. This costs 10 times the amount. I mean, we've heard numbers here for the Clement Parkway extension. I mean, that's the reality. That where would the city come up with approximately $5 million to buy that much more passive green space?
And the Marge Eady Park cost?
It's already dedicated to there.
Yeah. To what?
Again, primarily to the Marge Eady Park area.
Oh, I'm a little unclear on this because I was...
Well, if you like, after we can show you the council directive on how that money's to be spent and how it has been spent, because it's very transparent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
The spirit of your 10%, anyway.
Okay.
And to be fair of that, too, with the point, I mean, these are the rules. You know, I guess you could argue whether the rules should be changed or not, but, you know, every development has played amongst those same type of rules, so... I don't think it's necessarily fair to kind of move the goalposts just for one development, right? If everyone's playing the same...
Well, just because it was such a large development, like a 900-acre development, that's what I was thinking, that the money would be used to preserve as much of the natural area, which is what I thought the land dedication reserve was all about.
Well, it goes to the infrastructure-related projects, right? So there's, as Councillor Hasbeck mentioned, it goes through this account. And there's still money that's left in the account to spend on those types of initiatives, kind of community initiatives. It's got to be infrastructure-based, right, to enhance an amenity. So there's a number of things what councillors may or may not spend on. You know, for my area, for instance, I'll spend it on maybe a tennis court if we get a development. So you're not spending it on beer and popcorn or anything for community events. It's to enhance a community club or, you know, to build a tennis court or to do a whole number of things. So it's infrastructure-based and has to be in a city program. And, it, you know, generally needs to be spent in and around that area, right? So we take advice from community groups and that sorts that say, you know, where the money should be spent, and then we make determinations of where those dollars are spent, right?
So yes, I did realize that, but I also...
You're cutting me off now, too, so...
I just was curious because I was under the impression that that I haven't seen an actual audit or accounting of that land dedication reserve.
It goes through like our community committee, which meets every month. Kind of, this is what our community committee is, just for people.
And so they would show, say that IKEA paid $1.5 million as part of their...
It's all accounted. Yeah, it's all...
And that's available to the public?
It's fully accounted through accounts, and there's a fund that councillors, the three of us, would make decisions on where we spend the money. So,
and that would be available for the public to see?
Yeah, the public would have access to that, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, I've been trying, but...
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you,
just
Andrew.
A thought.
Okay, before we carry on with this, we're going to take a five-minute comfort break here, folks, so...
Bio break.
I take your pick. I don't. We're all grown-ups here.